26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I've done a good job of staying out of the Old Testament. My wife says I always want to preach out of it. There's a lot of good stuff in the Old Testament. There really is. This morning we talked about focus being needed. And you know, occasionally people lose their focus. It could be after weeks or days or years. But tonight we're going to look at the, if it advances, help me. Did it go off? No, it's on. There we go. The legacy of Uzziah. He's also known as Azariah in the Old Testament. But he was a king of Judah. And the Bible says that he was a good king, but he was not a great king. And we'll see what happened to him tonight. And folks, there's a lot of people that say, what I'm doing is good enough. But if it's not our best for God, it's not good enough. And we need to serve the Lord with all of our heart and all our soul and keep our focus on Him. We're going to cover every verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. In verses 1 and 3, it gives a synopsis of Uzziah's life. And it says this, it says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old. Aaron, you could be king. Okay? Who was 16 years old and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth, which was a port town on the Gulf of Aqaba today, and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. So that's the greatest thing he's known for. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. You know, we have talked about and preached about, and the Bible talks about, that it is our responsibility as parents to teach our kids the right way. It's even the responsibility of grandparents to teach their kids the right way. And we see that if the parents don't teach their kids something, they're going to go off and do something even worse. So, you need a little bit of a history letter. We see here in verse 1, it says that the people of Judah took Uzziah and made him king. Well, there was a problem. There was a problem. His daddy, Amaziah, started out good. He was a good king. Once again, he wasn't a great king. He did that which was right in the Lord, but not with all a perfect heart. And so, early in Amaziah's reign, because you need to understand how Uzziah came to reign, okay? Early in Amaziah's reign, he went out and conquered everything because he was following God. And then he went out and he conquered the Edomites. And he did an unthinkable thing. Instead of staying with God, he followed the god of the Edomites. He saw all these gods and all these idols and everything that they had, and he brought them back to Judah, and he started to worship him. Well, God didn't like that too much. And he sent prophets that said, you're going to pay the price for this. You're going to pay the price for this. So in 791 BC, he goes to the king of Israel, Joash, and says, we need to talk. We need to do eye to eye. We need to have eye to eye. We need to work things out. Joash said, I'm going to have none of this. So he goes out and he conquers Amaziah and takes him prisoner and keeps him in Samaria. And then the Syrians got involved and everything else. So he's in prison, and that's how Uzziah came to reign. So that's why you see that Uzziah was co-regent or co-king with Israel, because Amaziah was still alive. When 782 BC, Amaziah gets released and comes back, and he and Uzziah reign until the people get mad at him and kill him. So the people revolt and they kill Amaziah at a place called Lachish. And so now Uzziah reigns from by himself from 767 to 751 BC, and then he does something that causes God to punish him. And we'll see that. It says that he did nothing here in the synopsis, but in verses 4 and 5, he comes off to a good start. It says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did when he started out. But I tell you what, folks, if we don't serve God with a perfect heart as parents, our kids won't serve God with a perfect heart either. And if we don't, if we make mistakes, they're going to make the same mistakes because they learn from us. We need to model the right thing to do. So he starts off good. He says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, okay, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And the reason he started out is that he listened to the men of God that were around him. There was a prophet there by the name of Zechariah. And it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, and here's the key, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There's a principle here. If you want God to bless you, you need to seek Him. If you want God to bless you, you need to follow Him. Amen. If you think you can go do your own thing and take your focus off God and have Him give you all these goodies, it's not happening. It's not happening. So it goes off to a good start. And so it says here, it says, when as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And there were a lot of good things that happened early in Amaziah's reign. The first thing was, is that he wound up overcoming his enemies. And when we follow God, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when Uzziah was following God, he overcame his enemies. In verses 6 and 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26, it says this, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. But here's the key. Verse 7. Zechariah is alive. Uzziah is listening. He's following God. God's making him prosper. And God helped him against the Philistines. And you know, God just doesn't stop with one of your enemies. He goes with all of them. And we need to understand that God gives us the ability to conquer all of our enemies. Just not the big one. Even the little ones. It says, and God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal and the Menedims. So, when God made Uzziah to prosper, Uzziah overcame his enemies. And the nation prospered too. And the nation was at peace. The second thing in Uzziah's prosperity, that he was blessed. In verse 8, it says that, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. Uzziah was so strong that after the Philistines and the Arabians were conquered, the Ammonites said, we want no part of you. You got God helping you. And so we're going to make a peace treaty and we'll pay you tribute money. And it says, and the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And when we're following God, God will lift you up. If we exalt God, God will exalt us. And it says here, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. See, when God does something, he does it all the way. He doesn't just do a little bit. He doesn't get rid of just one of your enemies. He gives you the capacity to get rid of all your enemies. He gives you the capacity to do what he wants you to do in his will. And so he overcame his enemies and he was blessed. And then the other thing that he did was he made wise decisions. See, James chapter 1 says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. David went, when he had a problem, he went to the temple. The good kings went to the priest. Uzziah here went to Zechariah and said, what are we going to do? So he overcomes his enemies, and now he starts making wise decisions. When you put God in your decision process, you're going to make wise decisions. You're not going to make hasty decisions. You're going to make ones that will work for you and for those around you. He made wise decisions for protection. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. You know what he did? He put towers or lookout places on all the approaches to the city so they could see the enemy coming. Folks, you know what? That's what we need to do in our spiritual life. We need to guard our heart. We need to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. So all the approaches that Satan comes to us, we need to have a watchtower in our heart and our life, that we can see the enemy come and say, I'm following God. My focus is on Him. He's going to overcome you. He's going to overcome the enemy. And we need to understand that we need to walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as what? Wise. And so Uzziah was doing that. And he made wise decisions for protection. Folks, we need to guard our heart. We need to build up strongholds that God builds so we can see the enemy coming. We need to take up the shield of faith. All those things that says in Ephesians chapter 6, where we can fight the enemy. He made wise decisions for provision. In verse 10 of this chapter, he says, he also built towers in the desert. He had an early warning system. He knew that things were going on. Plus, he had enough army that he could protect everybody in the country. It says he also built towers in the desert and digged many wells. For he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husband and also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved farming. He wanted to be a farmer. You know something? My Bible says this. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. See, if we follow the Lord and have focus on Him, we listen to godly counsel, we follow the man of God, we follow Christ, we're going to make good decisions. He's going to give us, He's going to exalt us, and we're going to overcome the enemies, and we can do all these things. And God's going to provide. Just like Christ was just walking through and there's corn, and He's going to eat it. Okay? Psalm chapter 28, verse 7, continuing on to the good part of Uzziah, David writes this. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am what? Helped. See, when he was following God, God made him to prosper. If you ask God and you trust Him as your strength and your shield, okay, you're going to be helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. You know, it's great when you understand that God's bigger than your problems. It's great when you see your problems go down one at a time. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, your prayers with prayer and supplication, give thanks unto God for that. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, and therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and my song will I praise Him. So it gave him protection. Uzziah had provision. And then Uzziah got great strength. Great strength. The Arabians weren't going to mess with him. The Ammonites were sitting there. The Philistines just got beat. No one's going to mess with his fame goes all the way to Egypt. And in verses 11 through 15, this is the zenith of Uzziah. He's trusting God. And things are going on the uphill tick. Things are getting better and better and better. It says, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number, the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor, were 2,600. And under his hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. See, when we put our heart to the Lord, God's going to bring people along us that'll help us too. And it says, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Everything is going Uzziah's way. He's got farming, he's got cattle. He doesn't have any, no enemy can withstand him. He's got an army. He's got God on his side, and everything's going great. You would think that once you get on the mountaintop and you know who put you there, you're still following. But that's not what happens. He doesn't learn from history. He doesn't learn from what happened to Israel in the wilderness, that when everything went good, they forgot God and they took things on themselves. Here's a neat thing. Some people think that he was the first one to make catapults. This is 700 BC. And the first time the catapults are in history are around 400 BC when the Carthaginians, the Sicilians, try to take on the Carthaginians. And they use these things. And the Greeks are supposed to build this. But here we have 300 years before this, we have these things. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks. These sound like catapults to me. Okay? To shoot arrows and great stones with awe. And his name spread far abroad, for he was what? Marvelously helped. Folks, don't take God for granted. We need to praise him every day for all the things, all the benefits that he gives us. And if Uzziah had had that mindset, things would have kept on going the way he wanted to. Because he was doing what God wanted him to do. Till he was strong. But then problems come. Problems come. Help me. Psalm chapter 35 verse 27 says this. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. See, when Uzziah was serving God, God made him to prosper. And as Uzziah prospered, God was glorified. The country prospered, and God was glorified. Folks, our actions and our walk with God affects other people. It has a consequence on other people. It impacts the way they walk with God or don't walk with God. And he was marvelously helped in verse 15. And he was strong. So, this is where you need to be. But this is where he went. Proverbs chapter 16, 11 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. So now we hear the rest of the story of Uzziah. Uzziah developed pride. He was strong. And folks, when you feel strong like a teenager, you could do anything. Take on anything. You know everything. You do all this other stuff. He thought he could do anything because pride got him. Verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, this morning, we saw what not breaking the law was. But the only people that could burn incense on the altar of incense were the priest. And just because you're the king and you're in charge of all people, you are not in charge of the temple. And you're not in charge of worship. You're supposed to worship God yourself. And so he thought he could do everything. I'm the king. Now I'm going to do the priest thing because I can do it better than anybody else. And when you get pride and you start getting your mind that you're going to do something, you won't listen to anybody. Verses 17 and 18. And Azariah the priest went in after him and said, hey king, that's probably not a smart thing to do. Just wasn't him. Just wasn't him. And with him, 80 priests. Now you would think that someone who is following Zechariah and God had made him prosper, when the priest would come to you and say, you know, you really don't need to do that. That's not God's will for your life. That's what God's will is for our life. Don't mess around with what you're not supposed to mess around with. And they withstood Uzziah the king. Boy, I wish we had Christians that would stand up to falsehoods in church, falsehoods in government, falsehoods in our city, falsehoods in our neighborhood, and stand up and say, you know, that's not right. Falsehood in the workplace, and say, that's not right. I commend these guys. It took a lot of guts. They're standing up to the king, okay? They withstood the Uzziah the king and said to him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense of the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of here! Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. When you break God's law, don't expect things to go well. When you break God's law, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God's going to deal with the transgression now. You don't get any sort of brownie points and store up a bunch of stuff that God can take. Oh, that's okay. We'll just take this and we'll just wipe it off. That's okay. God wants righteousness then, now, and in the future. Just because you're good in the past, you don't get any sort of mulligans later on if you're a golfer and get another chance. The priest said, get out. You have no right here. Don't do this. You're breaking God's law. Now, a person who has common sense said, probably not a good thing to do. But Uzziah doesn't have common sense. He disobeyed God's command. See, those 81 priests were God's mercy on him. Before judgment comes, there's mercy. We've been studying that in Revelation. God's given us a chance. He's given him a chance. He says, don't do this. You're going to mess up, and you're going to mess up royally. And bad things are going to happen to you. God's given a chance. Folks, has God given you a chance tonight? Say, don't do this. Maybe some of us in here are contemplating doing something we know is wrong. Don't do it. You know it's contrary to God's word? Don't do it. You know God would be happy with it? Don't do it. Spirit's telling you don't? Don't do it. You know why? Because if you do it, judgment's coming. Maybe tonight, this is God's mercy to you. Say, don't do it. Don't do it. But Uzziah, yeah, he got the message and he didn't do it. No. Got mad. Don't tell me what to do. Then Uzziah was wroth. Had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while I was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in the forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. See, you break God's law, there is a consequence. God doesn't give probation. He gives a sentence. And that sentence was, if you messed around with the holy thing, you touched the ark, if you weren't struck dead, you got leprosy. Or you got some sort of really bad disease if you did something against the holy things of the temple. So it made him an outcast for the rest of his life. And we knew on that chart, from 750 BC until he died, he was a leper. He was a co-regent. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Don't think that God turns his back on people who willingly break his law. Don't think that God turns his back when you willingly go off and do sin. He remembers, he judges, and the consequence will come. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. He couldn't go home anymore. Being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Look at all the things that happened to him. He couldn't go home. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't go out with the army. He couldn't go out and watch all the things that had happened. All the things that he put in place. He couldn't see any of that anymore. He lost it all. He lost it all. Cut off the household. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. See, God knew what Uzziah was trying to do. And he put a bunch of priests in his way to say, don't do this. You have a chance to do the right thing. You have a chance to turn around and do the right thing. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity. Had Uzziah left the temple and done his trespass offering, everything would have been cool. And God would have restored everything to him, and he would have been an effective king. But he didn't. Forgiving iniquity and trespass, and by no means clearing the guilty. Folks, is there something that you've done in the past that's been bugging you, and you know you need to get it right with God? Tonight's the night. God's given you an opportunity. He's presenting His mercy. No means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation. See, even though there's consequences for the father's sin, and it goes on to the kids. The father's sin is a father's sin, but it affects our legacy. Folks, we need to, as parents and as grandparents, we need to value the legacy that God has given us. And we need to do everything that we can do to model Christ to our kids and to our grandkids, so they'll follow him too. Because I guarantee you, well, it's highly unlikely that if you don't follow God, they will follow God. They'll probably not follow God either. And folks, that's reality. That is what this verse says. That's what this verse says. He died a lonely man. Wow. In verses 22 and 23, it says, now the rest of the Acts of Uzziah, first and last, ha-ha. See, there were a bunch of prophets there, Hosea, Amos, Isaiah. They were contemporary with Uzziah. Did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write? So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. He was a good king, but he didn't go all the way to the end. See, Christ wants us to run our race all the way till he calls us home. You can go and study the kings of Judah. There were no good kings in Israel and the northern kingdom. But there were several good kings, great kings in Israel, in Judah, the southern kingdom. In Uzziah's life, he brought no revival to the land. He brought prosperity. But there wasn't a great spiritual revival in people turning to God. Folks, what's more important? Having stuff or following God? Where's our focus? See, when Uzziah had his focus on God, things were going pretty good, made him prosper. When he took his focus off God, thought he could do anything, that's his downfall. But the sad part about it is, he didn't go all the way and clean out all the idolatry and all the other high places and all the stuff where people were doing false worship in Israel. And because of that, there was no revival in the southern kingdom. There was no revival in Judah. There was a great earthquake. Amos chapter 1 verse 1, it says, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, when he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah king of and in the days of Jeroboam the king of Joash, 2 years before the earthquake. This is the earthquake that Zechariah writes about in Zechariah 14, 200 years later. This thing is something most historians say is on the 8.2, 8.3 Richter scale. The damage that was going, because archaeologists have found the ruins of this. Even Matthew talks about the great earthquake in this. You wonder, was it because Uzziah turned away from God? You wonder, can't say for sure. But God's judgment comes in a whole bunch of ways. We were studying Revelation that he brings it through natural or unnatural acts. He brought no revival. Experienced a massacre. But you know something? God doesn't give up. The southern kingdom is doomed. No. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 8. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. It's linked to the death of a good king, but not a great king. God always gives a second chance. And there are some good kings, Josiah, Hezekiah, that come after here. And God did not give up with the lineage, the house of David, with the lineage of the kings. He didn't give up. He still gives the same opportunity to follow him. He still brings men of God to say, you need to follow me. You need to follow God. Do we need to follow God tonight? Is God allowing your life to prosper because you're following him? If you're having issues and things aren't working out the way you want to work out, then maybe you need to change your focus and put it where it needs to go, on him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, help us to learn the lessons from history, Lord. Help us learn to learn the lessons from Uzziah. And Father, that when he followed you, you prospered him. Father, help us to follow you tonight. Father, help us, Lord, to understand that you may be giving us mercy tonight. There's something in our lives that you want us to get rid of. Lord, I pray that we would respond to that. That we would leave it here and that you would forgive the transgression and the iniquity, Lord, and make us clean in your sight. That we can follow you and that you would prosper us and that in turn we would glorify you. Lord, help us. Help us as individuals, help us as a church. That we follow you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.